rolling.
All right. So I guess let's start with you. You knew there was an investigation, and there were parallel investigations. There's internal. Governor Evers made a reference to a federal investigation. So how many different, is it since October, since the first death that they were talking about, that this has been going on? Or how long has this kind of been brewing?
It's been brewing for a while. October might be right. I didn't know there was an internal investigation. I knew the FBI, the feds got called in for one, and I knew the Dodge County Sheriff's Department was doing one too. I guess in my head, I thought the FBI and the Dodge County were kind of one and the same and working together, and that may not have actually been the case, but I did know there were investigations going on to the different deaths that were happening at Waupun Correctional. And going back to March of 2020, what would it have been? What year is it now? Fourth? So to March of 2023 when they did there wasn't really a lockdown, modified movement. I knew since then there's been a lot of media coverage and issues that have been happening there, so I wasn't surprised that there were investigations going on. One weird thing about when you're the mayor of Waupun, when they put in the modified movement or lockdown stuff last year spring, people started calling me and sending me mail and emails from all over the state and the country who have loved ones in the prison. They didn't like some of the stuff being done, and they thought there was more that I could do. But as the mayor of the city, I don't run the prison in any way. I just work to have a really good working relationship with the prison staff, because it's a very unique thing. If you drive around the state of Wisconsin, most of your prisons are out in the country somewhere. But the city of Waupun has three prisons in it, and they're in our city limits. And it's a unique thing to Waupun. It's something we're used to, our police department's used to, and our fire department's used to, but it's just something that we do deal with and we work with, and we think nothing of it. But they're here, and we just try to have a really good working relationship.
So when you look at what the press conference brought with these charges, what was your reaction to charging that many people for these incidents?
I was surprised at that. I think, I'm not saying the sheriff did anything right, or I'm not going there, but I think most of the people who work at the prison, or almost all of them, they're going to work, they have a tough job. Correctional officers, and as the mayor of Waupun, I've been trying to raise a stink on their behalf for a few years now, and I hope that I played a small role in helping Representative Schraub push through the pay raise they got. It's a thankless job. People see correctional officers, like you run them in the local Quick Trip. They've got their blue shirt on and all that. Then they go to work. But unlike a police officer, you don't see them out working because they're on the other side of the wall. And they do a thankless job, and it's a hard job. And I've toured Waupun Correctional Institution, and there's some really bad people in there. And they will insult you. They will swear at you. They will throw things at you. And there's only so much correctional officers can do. It's a high-stress job. It can be a thankless job. It can be a miserable job. But at the same time, it can be a great career. But I don't think they ever got enough respect, and it's a hard job to do. And so I was sad to see so many people get wrapped up in it. And on a personal note, I did not know the warden until I became the mayor. But I'm in my third year as the mayor, and my relationship with Randy Hepp was phenomenal. He gave me and my staffer last year a tour of the prison. And his love for Waupun Correctional, the history of it, what it means to the city, he knew everyone who worked there by their first name. Most of the inmates he knew, and they knew who he was. There were times where the tour stopped and we'd have like a group of people, and it was almost like a town hall, and he'd answer questions and try to make life better for the prisoners that were in there. And just the way we would work together on city issues dealing with corrections, I was really sad to see his name get wrapped up in it, because I think Randy put in 40 years for corrections. I think he loved what he did. I think he loved Waupun Correctional. He could have retired a while ago, and he stayed around because I think he truly wanted to fix the problem over there. And so when I was called by the sheriff and given a heads up what was coming, I hung up the phone and then walked down my hallway and literally went and threw up. I was really sad to see that, because I do believe Randy's a good guy whose intentions were good and he tried really, really hard. And I wonder why it stops with him. I get state statute puts the warden in charge of everyone there, so I see where that's coming from. But at the same time, they're boxed in by the policies from up above. And I mean, the last few governors, I don't think, have done much for corrections. You can go back, Scott Walker never came to Waupun and never visited a prison. Tony Evers has done that, but I don't think he's taken the bull by the horns and fixed any of these problems. I think you go back to the Tommy Thompson era and Scott McCallum, those were the last governors who cared about corrections and really fought for. When Tommy Thompson was the governor, our corrections was the envy of the country. And like, we would send people from our prisons to train around the country how to run a prison. And correctional officers respected him, and morale was high, and these things didn't happen. I'm not Tony Evers, and I'm not here to give him advice, but if I was in his shoes, I'd call Tommy Thompson and see if he'd be willing to be the corrections secretary for a year and fix this. Because I know the correctional officers respect the heck out of him.
But a lot's changed since Tommy Thompson's era. Funding for the prisons, and also Act 10 taking away the unions for prison workers has changed the climate inside those facilities dramatically. Can you remove the... Is there a line coming from the state's underinvestment in the prison system, the lack of rights for prison guards in terms of their union rights, and then draw that to the what we see here in terms of short staffing, modified movement issues, low morale, all the problems that lead to these kind of incidents?
Definitely. And there's two sides to that, too. I've always been on the Republican side of things, and when Act 10 happened, I supported it. And it did a lot to give local city governments like me, school boards, more control over their local stuff, and that's good. It saved taxpayers a lot of money. I understand why they went on corrections, too. They needed the kick in on the pension benefits and the health insurance because of the cost, and we were in a state budget deficit. Hindsight's 2020, but at the time, I did say I wished that they could have found a way to let correctional officers still unionize for safety and security reasons. Their number one concern is their safety and getting home safe. And then the politics of it, like correctional officers, they were supporters of Republicans in the Thompson era. They fell away from that. I think Republican elected officials didn't care enough because they weren't voting for them. And the Democrat Party is more soft on crime, for lack of a better way of putting it. And I think there was no one looking out for them. And that went on for 14 years. And it led to their pay wasn't very good for what they were doing. The benefits weren't as attractive as they were. Morale went down. And in corrections, it used to be it was a generational job. My dad worked there, I worked there, then their kid would work there. What happened after 2010 is people were like, don't come work here. Just don't do it. And that got out into the community and people stopped doing it. And that wasn't a good thing. The very sad thing too about this is after these new pay raises that came through in the last state budget, you can see in the Corrections Academy classes, the numbers are up. People are coming to work for corrections again. They're getting there. I would say within 2 years, the vacancy rate's going to get down to where it's manageable and the prison can go back to the way it used to be. And then this hits the news. And I can see why this would deter people from wanting to work in corrections, because a lot of these are just people going to do their job. And I think they got swept up in something bigger than them. And I don't know Secretary Carr, and I've never met the governor, but I do hope that they at least take some of the responsibility and do something to fix this.
Have you read the criminal complaint?
Yeah, most of it. Okay. I got it yesterday.
Yeah, so when you read through some of the individual charges, a lot of them, especially for the most recent death, the starvation, exposure death, a lot of those are for negligence in terms of checking on inmates, falsifying records of whether they made their rounds, and they're all of them are saying, well, I was doing a different job at the same time, you know, almost being coerced into covering up that they weren't doing these things. And it makes you seem like if someone else had had that shift, they would have been doing the same sign off on they made their rounds and doing another job at the same time. It just happened to be them that was on the shift where someone died.
Well, and one of the persons that was charged, their shift was ending. I think it was one of the nurses that the sheriff referenced, and they didn't follow up on it because their shift was ending, but they'd been there for 16 hours. They're just tired. I worked at a local car dealership in town, and we sold a vehicle to a correctional officer who crashed his car because he fell asleep. He just worked three doubles in a row. You can't run a prison at 48% vacancy rate. But my thing is, the mayor of Waupun, is the prison isn't at a 40 or 52% vacancy rate because there's anything wrong with the prison. It needs some modifications, don't get me wrong. But they needed to take better care of the people who were working there, and the pay and the benefits are the way you do that. And you can see that coming back. One of the things that really frustrates me in my role is there's two prisons that they're always talking about closing. It's Green Bay and Waupun. Waupun's the oldest prison in the state, and Green Bay is the second oldest. Fun fact, Waupun prisoners built the Green Bay prison. But Green Bay wants to close the prison up there for their own reasons. It's prime real estate. It's on the Fox River. It's near an interstate. It's great economic development land. Like, you could do condos, malls, whatever. It's a ton of tax base that they're looking at. I wish they would just be honest about it. Instead of running out on TV and saying it's a powder keg ready to blow, well, every prison is. Instead of saying that, trying to scare people, just be honest. We want the prison land because it's prime real estate for economic development. So then close Green Bay. Waupun's a different story. Our prison's on Madison Street in Waupun. It's right in the middle of our city. The city goes around it. The daycare my kids went to is in the backyard. The library's across the street. We're used to it. It's part of our history, and it's not a threat to the community. It's been here forever. We don't want our prison to close. It can change or be something different. I'll grant you all of that, and the building needs some work, but Waupun Correctional is a lot of our history, and it's been here for 173 years. I have the license plate up there. Did you know the license plate on your car is made in Waupun? And the metal stamping division, every license plate in the state of Wisconsin is made in Waupun. And so they made those WCI 170 plates in honor of their anniversary a few years ago. It's a history that this community takes pride in. And we know people who work there and we care about them. But an interesting thing about Waupun, most of our churches have an outreach to the prison. We pray for the people who live in there in church every weekend. Most people drive by our city and they're like, the prison's in Waupun. But to those of us who live here, the prison's in our community, and these people are a part of our community. We see the inmates mowing the lawn. We can see them on municipal projects painting buildings. We're not afraid of them. Like, it's a part of who we are, and it's unique and special to Waupun. And I'm just getting sick and tired of being clumped in with Green Bay because their priorities are different than ours. We like our prison, and we're not afraid of it.
So we've already seen the political game start. That was immediate. Governor issuing press releases, Republicans on joint finance releasing press releases. Mm-hmm. What is the danger in terms of turning this into a partisan game in terms of actually trying to resolve or solve or prevent these kind of things from happening?
I would say there's two dangers. One, nothing gets fixed because they blame each other, and there's plenty of blame to go around. And two, Waupun Correctional gets closed because it's a quick, easy way to say, I did something. And then that would hurt our community because the problem isn't the building. The problem is it was understaffed and there's policies from up above that need to be fixed. There's a lot of blame to go around, and I think there's a lot of blame to go back a good 15 years. But in Waupun, we care about the prison and we care about the people who live there and the people who work there. And one of the things I want people to know is, like, that's a hard job. I have several friends who do it, and it wears on them. And I know people who aren't in, well, I know the warden. I think I've met some of the people who were charged because they looked familiar. I'm not sure if I know them. But some of the other people mentioned in the criminal, I know who they are. These are people who, they're good, decent people with families. And they don't want to hurt anyone, let alone anyone, prisoner or anyone. They're just, the prison was understaffed. They're under a lot of pressure. And They go to work, and like, how do you get people to go to a job like that when you could end up in legal trouble when you're just trying to put in your time and do what's right? And correctional officers don't get enough credit for being part of law enforcement. You know, Republicans like to talk about being tough on crime, and you see them throwing money at cops and everything, which is fine. My brother's a police chief in Kewaskum. I'm all for law enforcement. But correctional officers, like I said before, they do it on the other side of the wall. They're not seen. But they keep us safe by keeping the bad guys in there. And that's important too. And inmates, obviously, we got to treat them humanely and give them care. But let's not fool ourselves. A lot of these people are really awful. When I toured the prison, I went through that SAG unit. And like, one guy has oven mitts taped to his hands because he would pull the skin off of himself. These are challenging jobs. A lot of these people have mental health issues. And maybe they shouldn't be in a prison. They should be somewhere else. But they can't be out on the street. And these correctional staff, they come in every day. It's a high-stress job. They see the worst of the worst. They strip search people. People will throw their poop at you. Like, it's not a great job. You get swore at a lot. And it wears them down. And I just don't think they get enough credit or respect for the line of work they do. And if I can do anything out of this story, it's just to point out how hardworking correctional officers are.
So what should be the solution? What should the state... If the state was functional in terms of the capital, what should they be trying to focus on?
My solution would be everyone up in Green Bay wants to sell their prison because they want the land. So sell it, take whatever money you get for it, start by putting that money to retrofitting Waupun, and then maybe building another maximum security somewhere if you need to. But I don't see any reason to close both of them. The reality is building one massive new prison is super expensive. And it still doesn't house as many people as Waupun and Green Bay. Once you can get, if they close Green Bay, you get the money, you retrofit Waupun, make it as good as you can. Some of the staff from Green Bay could come to Waupun. Then you don't have the staffing shortage. And then it can go back to the way it used to be, where it is a safe place for both the people who work there and the people who live there. And that's where I would start. And then we'll see how many numbers you have and if you have to build another prison somewhere. I don't know. But, like, corrections has been a mess for a while. They had the problem up at Lincoln Hills, and now you have the problem in Waupun. And a lot of it just goes to the staffing issue.
How much of it is simply prisoners don't vote? They're not a constituency.
No, but their families are, and we do hear from them. The other thing is, too, there's a lot of people who don't care. They're like, well, they're prisoners. They did something really wrong. Why are they in there? I don't say that. I think you need to treat them humanely, but I do get where people are coming from on that. But I just think a lot of it is they go to the other side of the prison wall and they're out of sight, out of mind, and it's forgotten. And unless something like this happens, people don't realize what's going on. One of the things that I hope happens is the shock from Sheriff Dale Schmidt's press conference. I think people are like, whoa, that's terrible. And I hope over the next couple of weeks, people look at how hard it is to work it too. And I hope the truth of that comes out. I'm not, obviously, I like the sheriff a lot. He's a friend of mine. And I know this was hard for him. But I also hope people also start to learn and understand how hard it is to be a correctional officer. And I know the sheriff does know that. But it's a very tough job. And like I said before, I really hope people, they don't just crap on correctional officers. They understand this is a tough job and there's not an easy solution. And so I was kind of disappointed yesterday. I saw press releases from the right criticizing the governor. The governor wanted to talk about fake electors. And I'm like, really? We've got this. This is a real problem. And corrections is the number one, I think, budget item. And it's like, can't we just sit down and like fix this? Because, I mean, I'm just the mayor, but I think I've got a few solutions if they want to listen.
The charging the warden, if you don't charge him, the question is going to be why you're not going up all the way up the chain.
Mm-hmm.
Like the, otherwise, I think a lieutenant is the highest charged ranking officer. He's charged in both cases because he oversees that SEG unit.
Mm-hmm.
So you charge the warden, but then there's a question of, you know, the warden in his interview in the criminal complaint clearly states, like, I would love to give more training. I would love to have more time to do hands-on. I have to send out an email and let them know that these are the policies on when to turn on and off water. So is it, I mean, it sends a message to charge him, but is that actually legally where the charge should be going?
In my opinion, no. But I'm biased in the fact that I have a really good relationship with the warden and I consider him a friend. Like the sheriff said, by state statute, I guess that the buck stops with him. But I didn't. He could have retired years ago. I do think Warden Randy Hepp stayed around to try to fix a prison that needed help, and he did the best he could. Maybe he wasn't the right guy. To me, we just had a good working relationship, and he could have been gone a long time ago and not going through this. So I really feel for him and what he's going through. The water thing is interesting, too, because as I've told you in the past, we have great water in Waupun. The prison doesn't get the water. They're too cheap, so they have their own little, and like there's pieces of rust floating in the water. So like, we want to talk about bad water at the prison. Well, they could have hooked up to Waupun Utilities 5 minutes ago. That's how easy it is. But the state's too cheap to pay for city water. So maybe they should look at themselves before they blame the warden for the water.
And would any other warden have made a difference?
No, because we as a city had asked the state to just take our water, and they kept saying no. When they were started building their water treatment plant for the three prisons in town, the wardens didn't even know that it was, all of them didn't know it was being built. The communication at the state to the prisons sucked, let alone to the state to the city. They never even came to the city for a permit to build it. They just said, we're the state, can do whatever we want. And they're probably right. What are they? I need their shared revenue, so I can't complain. But I just, to me, that just shows you how they treated it. They didn't care. They didn't care how crappy the water is. It's cheaper. Well, Pond's got the best water in the state. It wouldn't have cost them that much money. They're building a multi-million dollar water plant now. Why? You know what they should have built on that lot? Is an apartment complex for new correctional officers who need an apartment to live, who can't afford one on a starting salary. They could have lived there, worked at Waupun, gotten some money in the bank, and bought a house. One of the reasons there's a staffing shortage is there's nowhere to live. Does the state build housing? No. They build a water plant they don't need to build. That was a dumb idea.
You got lots of farm fields around here. When's...
Well, we do, but I just, I don't know. I just, that ticked me off too. You can, like, some of these things to me by living here, it's just common sense. And, like, it ticks me off that they keep tying us to Green Bay because we're two different things. And it ticks me off they're building a water plant when they could just buy Waupun water, and they should have built an apartment building for people who start out as correctional officers who don't own a house yet. What a cool job benefit that is.
Yeah.
And we need them.
Well, really old-fashioned worker housing? That's,
yeah.
That goes back a century or more.
It does.
That was standard.
And I just, I don't know. I just think they missed the boat on that. And then the politicians all just blame each other. And there's plenty of that to go around. Like, I was always disappointed that Scott Walker never came here, never visited a prison, because corrections is such a big part of what the state does. Tony Evers has come here. I give him that. But he never tells us when he's coming either. And he doesn't talk to us. But the wardens always did. So I just feel like this community likes the prisons being here. The prisons and the management of the prisons work really well with the community. And it's Madison that's got everything messed up. Like, one of the other things that I always say that'll never go anywhere, but I do believe this. So the state of Wisconsin pays way too much rent for the old American Family Insurance building where the DOC is headquartered in Madison. The state owns all this land around Waupun. So why not build a DOC headquarters across the street from the prison farm on Highway 49? Then they can actually be in a city with prisons and maybe see a real correctional officer and a real prisoner.
So they didn't buy the building?
They may have by now.
Oh, okay.
I thought that was one of those Jim Doyle lease deals that was controversial.
It could have been.
But you'd have to look into that. And I'm not bringing that up to throw Doyle in. I'm just saying, why is it in Madison? There's no prisons in Madison. So why don't you come to a town with actual prisons in it? Like, we can show you around and tell you how it is.
Then the officials would have to drive up here.
That's why they don't move it. All right. And I know you're recording all this, so, like, I know what I'm saying.
No, I know you don't.
I don't have to BS you.
No, I've been in that building. Anything else you want to add along these lines?
No, I don't think so. I just would wrap up with, like, it's the oldest prison in the state. It means a lot to our community because of the history of it, because we all know people who work there. And like I said before, people drive by Waupun and they say the prison's there, but to us, the prison's here. It's part of our community. And we care for the people who live there. All the churches in town have outreach. The different ministers go there different days of the week. We don't look down our noses at the prisoners because they're in prison, although some of them made terrible mistakes. We do hope that they get their lives fixed and can do better. One of the problems, though, that correctional officers at Waupun do have is, and I don't know the percentage, but I would guess half of them are maybe never getting out because you get a life sentence, and then what do you have to lose? Mm-hmm. I met one of those guys when I toured it, and he was in the metal stamping division making license plates. And he's been there 30-some years, and this is like his fifth warden or something. And it was kind of funny when I met him. I mean, he's a nice guy. Obviously, he did something pretty terrible to be there that long. But it was lunchtime, and he he liked making the license plates because it got him out of his cell, gave him something to do, and gave him a purpose in life. And so I thought that was kind of neat to meet him. But he's obviously one of those who's there for a long time and wants to make life as good as it can be. A lot of them just don't care. And one of the things that was going on is when they started the lockdown, and this did work, the lockdown started because the newer inmates were causing the trouble. A lot of the older guys were like, knock it off so we can go back to getting out and having more visitors and stuff. And like, they were policing themselves. And I thought the warden had a pretty good handle on it. Things were getting better from the reports I would get. So I was a little shocked on Monday when the sheriff called, and I don't know where it's going to go, but I do wish the warden well, because at least my working relationship with him was phenomenal, and I was pretty hurt to see how it went.
All right.
Did I ramble too much?
No, that was fine. I think we're good here.
All right.
So you want to just get a couple cutaways?
Sure. With him. You guys just chatting, kind
of? Yeah.
Okay.
You don't really need me in it, but just a couple more angles of